Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there. You're now listening to another exciting episode of the Am Yisrael Chai Show. And I'm just sort of in a mood to just, you know, politics can really get me riled up. And I'm in a mood to just go on and rant and just get it all out there. Because, well, I mean, the chime is now open, so if you're listening live to me right now on your computer from the episode page, if you want to appear in a chime, you have to do one simple thing, reload the page, and once you reload the page, you're in the chime with the best show here on Blog Talk Radio. That being said, now, the topic for this episode is, Israel should disregard the anti-Semitic Gentile world, and no, I don't mean all non-Jews are anti-Semites. I'm not saying that all Gentiles, non-Jews are anti-Semitic. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the international community, the liberal, quote-unquote, mainstream media, are anti-Semitic. It's amazing how, like, this world truly hates the Jewish people. Truly does. Because for 2,000 years, Jews have been persecuted. Jews have been pushed into ghettos by the anti-Semites who are persecuting them. For 2,000 years, particularly in Europe, and then suddenly the anti-Semites and the assimilated Jews then say that Judaism is inherently backwards and stuff like that. Like, you have these plays like Fiddler on the Roof, a completely unassimilated play. It's basically like the story about how it portrays like Judaism as like nothing more than like. Than being backwards and in the ghetto, and then all of a sudden those Jews start assimilating, becoming Gentiles, marrying into Gentiles, and then they suddenly become more open to the world. Never mind that assimilation was actually the cause of the Holocaust, because the fact is, you know, German before Hitler came into power, German Jews were among the most assimilated Jews, and yet there was still so much anti-Semitism that Hitler came in, and Hitler was elected after the Holocaust, in which 6 million Jews were murdered by the Nazis. After the Holocaust, when the world was horrified to see what happened, the world asked, why didn't the Jews defend themselves? Why didn't they do more to defend themselves? Then Israel gets created. Israel finally defends itself from Arab aggression. And bear in mind the Arabs who fight Israel were the ones who collaborated with Nazi Germany. The founding father of the Palestinian terrorist movement, Amin al-Husseini, was an active Nazi collaborator. He actively took part in Hitler's genocide against the Jewish people. He went on Berlin radio saying stuff like, kill the Jews wherever you find them. And there's also like a less well-known event in Iraq in 1941 on a Safar Hood in which Amin al-Husseini and those Iraqis who organized a pro-Nazi coup, although they failed to install a pro-Nazi regime, but them and their supporters then carried out a pogrom against the Iraqi Jews known as the Far Hood. So there's also that. But when Israel defends itself against Nazis in the Arab Muslim world, then Israel gets condemned and Israel gets accused of acting with disproportionate force. We see that, like, the world expects people in Sderot to have to live with rocket attacks daily and to have 5, 10, or 15 seconds to find a bomb shelter and hide, because they're just small-scale attacks. And when Israel responds defending itself, Israel acts with disproportionate force. You know, all the times in war, you know, the goal is to try to win the war. If you're attacked, the goal is to defend yourself and to go after the attackers. But now they're setting up new rules. Now suddenly, since only 9 people get killed in Sderot, supposedly, Israel can only kill 9 people in Gaza. That's basically the thinking. But this is not about an even death count. It's not about keeping score to have an even death count. I mean, these people are so stuck on stupid. I mean, there really is no such thing as a Palestinian people. There isn't. Hello, Janice. Hello, guest. There really is no such thing as a Palestinian people. I mean, look. The real Palestinian state is in Jordan. Jordan is the real occupied Palestine. And don't even get me started on Jordan. Because we see in Jordan, don't allow in Jews who come in with tefillin, a ritual object that Jews use for the morning prayers, and they don't allow Jews to come in wearing a kippah. And the Jordanians claim, we're not anti-Semitic, this is just for their security because of the extremists. But what does Jordan do? The government-run media in Jordan constantly promotes incitement against Israel and promotes terrorism against Israel. And when the Arab bank, was indicted for supporting Hamas, Jordan came to their defense. Jordan has financial ties to them, and Jordan came to their defense. What do we see Jordan doing? Jordan persecutes people like Mudar Zahran, the Palestinian-Jordanian opposition leader, who truly does want peace with Israel, who truly is a martyr, who truly is against radical Islam, while Jordan allows the Muslim Brotherhood to run rampant over there. Jordan tried, and I mean, the anti-Semitic left, you will not hear this from the anti-Semitic left-wing media, but this is how much they care about the Palestinians. You know, when Jordan tried Mudar Zahran and absentee in a military court, he was tried for incitement against the king, incitement against his own people. He was guilty of incitement because he didn't blame everything on Israel, according to the minds of the Jordanians. And another thing Mudar Zahran was tried for, he was also tried for writing for Israeli newspapers. While the king and his supporters have been persecuting Mudar Zahran and threatening him and trying to kill him, where is the liberal media in all this? They're totally silent. Silent because the Jordanians are not Jews. That's why, because the Jordanians are not Jews. This world hates the Jews so much, so much, that they're willing to cater to a death cult ideology like radical Islam, i.e. Islamofascism. It's just so bloody insane. It's so bloody insane. You know, while the Jordanians, for instance, refuse to allow Jews to come in with tefillin or wearing a kippah, where is the Israeli government in all this? At most, you'll hear occasional lip service from the Israeli government, but the Israeli government doesn't really say much because they're so busy trying to cater to the king, trying to hold him up, because of this fear-mongering propaganda that comes out that if he falls and the extremists can take over. I mean, well, maybe that's so because we have Obama, who is a petty brat in office, Obama, whose policies favor the Muslim Brotherhood. But, I mean, I think we should let the king fall, and we should support the moderates in Jordan, like Mudar Zahran, who truly do want peace with Israel, who truly is against radical Islam. I mean, there's no question. There's only one way a peaceful Palestinian state can coexist with Israel, and that's a Palestinian state in Jordan run by someone like Mudar Zahran. That's it. There will never be a peaceful Palestinian state existing in Gaza or the West Bank. Look at Gaza right now. Ever since Israel left Gaza in 2005, Gaza has turned into a terrorist base. Rocket attacks from Gaza onto Israel increased. And 2 years after Israel left Gaza, Hamas, whose charter calls for another Holocaust against the Jewish people, took over Gaza in 2007. Gaza is an Islamofascist hellhole, an ISIS-style Islamofascist hellhole, and Hamas is another ISIS. Now you won't hear the people in JC admitting this, but the people in Gaza know this to be true. but they're too afraid to say it, because the fact of the matter is this. Gazans are too afraid to publicly criticize Hamas because they know that if they say anything, then they can be murdered by Hamas. If Gazans try to criticize Hamas, they know that then Hamas can come and murder them and lynch them on a pole and say, you people were collaborating with Israel. I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, that's what happens. And even abroad, Gazans are too afraid to criticize Hamas. Because then it would put their family and friends at risk. But Mudar Zahran, he wrote an article called Gaza Speak Out, Hamas War Crimes, in which Mudar Zahran spoke to Gazans, and the Gazans he spoke to spoke anonymously for their safety. But when they spoke anonymously, they spoke about how much they hated Hamas. And there were some comparisons with Hamas to ISIS, but you don't see Jaycee admitting any of this. You see, Hamas, they're a bunch of terrorist cowards. They launch rockets from civilian areas. They hide in civilian areas, in schools, and mosques, and in hospitals. We don't see the liberal media reporting on that. No, we don't see that. I mean, I may be sounding redundant, but this is obvious. I mean, look, Mudar Zahran, the Palestinian-Jordanian leader, he himself has said, when he observes this, he himself says, either the world is ignorant or it's Jew hatred. And believe me, I think it is Jew hatred. I mean, no doubt, there is a lot of ignorance, but it's also Jew hatred as well. But no doubt, this world truly does hate the Jewish people. Because ultimately, you see, this is really another front because you see, these people who hate Israel ultimately hate Hashem, God. And this is another attempt to undermine Hashem's covenant with Bnei Israel, the children of Israel. So that's the fact of the matter. And now we see, you know, it's not enough that the world and Europe, they were putting Jews into ghettos. Now the world wants to ghettoize the Jews within the pre-1967 borders, which are clearly, clearly insecure borders, which Abba even himself called Auschwitz lines. I mean, there's no question that if Israel leaves the West Bank and turns the West Bank into a Palestinian state, there's no question that then rockets are going to be flying into Tel Aviv and into Jerusalem and all over the country, and people will have 5, 10, or 15 seconds to find a bomb shelter and hide. But of course, the liberal Jews, the left-wing liberal assimilated Jews, don't care about this. They just care about, oh, they don't want to be called right-wing nut jobs. They try to cater more to the left. They think just cater more to the left, And you know, and the problems will go away, and then maybe the left can see that Israel's not such a that Israel's not so bad, assuming these left wing Jews really are pro Israel. I mean, many of these left wing Jews, all like Jaycee, they're in the forefront in wanting to bully Israel to make suicidal territorial concessions, which results in more terrorism. I mean, this is really a disgrace. This is really a disgrace. Being a leftist requires you putting your head in the sand. That's the bottom line. Being a leftist requires you putting your head in the sand. Truth of the matter. I mean, not really much I can be really. I mean, we are living in an age of insanity, which is driving me, when we should go crazy. Driving me nuts. Driving me nuts. I mean, all these people with their hand in the sand who keep on saying, give peace a chance, give peace a chance, give peace a chance. Peace was given a chance. With Oslo, with leaving Gaza. And we see, and in response to peace being given a chance, there isn't any peace. There's more terrorism against Israel. There's terrorist bases getting created, and there's more terrorism against Israel.
that's what happens. The temptation to leave Yehuda Ben Shimron, the so-called West Bank, really is something. It really is something. I mean, you know, thank God, Baruch Hashem, literally bless God, Baruch Hashem, that Netanyahu, sensible enough to know that leaving Yehuda Ben Shimron, the so-called West Bank, is suicide. And now we see Obama wanting to reach a bad deal with Nazi Iran, where rape victims can get stoned for adultery, Nazi Iran, where you see like the Iranian regime's thugs, like the Basij and the IRGC and all those guys, where they literally rape women who are sentenced to death. Why? So then those women can no longer be seen as virgins. I mean, they'd rape those women. They'd marry them off. So then they can say that those women are no longer virgins, and then they can be assured that those women will go to hell, and then they stone those women afterwards. I mean, this is how effed up Nazi Iran is. I mean, Iran is a Nazi-like hellhole. Ever since that Nazi Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini took power in 1979, Iran has been a Nazi-like hellhole. I mean, Iran is a country of death. Iran really is a country of death. And we cannot let a country of death to obtain nuclear weapons. I mean, this is not. I'm not talking about most of the people in Iran who are oppressed by the regime, but I'm talking about the state and the system that Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini and his thugs have set up. I mean, they're the ones who made Iran into a country of death. Iran really is a country of death, and needs to be treated like a country of death. Because you see, the Arab and Muslim world. You see, Israel is the only light if it wasn't for Israel's existence, there'd be no civilization in the Middle East. If it wasn't, Israel's a light in a region full of darkness. Israel is life in among death. Because all you see in the Middle East is like groups fighting each other, the dominant group persecuting the groups that are not dominant. It's not only non-Muslims who get persecuted there, and no doubt non-Muslims do deal with severe discrimination. But it's not only non-Muslims; even Muslims from different religious sects or different ethnic groups also get persecuted there, and also have to deal with genocides. You look at Darfur, for example, where Black Muslims are also among the victims of genocide. You look at Syria, for instance. You look at Iraq. Civil wars based on what? Because Sunni versus Shia and stuff. It's like, you know, it's like even if you're different different ethnic groups, the dominant groups persecute the groups that are not dominant. That's how it works over there in the Middle East. Israel's the only democracy in the region. Israel's the only place in the region where Arab women have the right to vote. Israel's the only place in the region where you see where actually a female Arab judge actually put a former Jewish president, Moshe Katsav, to jail for rape and sexual harassment. And it was an Arab judge who was among an Arab female judge who was among those who put Moshe Katsav, who is Jewish and who was the former president, in jail for rape and sexual harassment. Now you see in the Muslim world, you see rape victims get stoned for adultery. And you know the facts of the matter. And you look at like the left wing media and the liberal left wing media and their coverage of different issues. Like you know, like in like and also like with how the left reacts. You know, in Rotherham, for instance, Rotherham, Britain, where 1,400 11 to 14 year old girls were kidnapped, molested, and raped by Muslim Pakistani gangs. And the police looked the other way because they didn't want to be called racist. I mean, suddenly when the story started coming, I mean, the liberal media gave some coverage, but it wasn't a big story. Now you see, whenever there's any allegation of like in Orthodox Jewish communities of some rabbi engaging in pedophilia or whatnot, then all of a sudden you see the liberal left wing media is all over it, and then all of a sudden you see the anti Semites jump all up and use it to bash the Jewish people. And there are all these idiots on the internet who say Hitler should have finished his job and stuff. I mean, look at the different contrasting attitudes, how the world caters to radical Islam while they hate the Jewish people. The world embraces a death cult largely due to anti-Semitism. I mean, what a bunch of masochists the West has become. What a bunch of masochists that the left has turned people into. Wanting, you know, while radical Islam declares that she had a holy war on the West, and people have their hand in the sand. Totally outrageous. I mean, this world hates Hashem so much, and because they hate Hashem so much, they hate the Jewish people too. That's the bottom line. The bottom line. I mean, let's face it. Yehuda Beth Shimon is so-called west part of Israel, and it's part of Israel's historic homeland. And even from the perspective of, leaving aside the fact that Hashem, God, gave Israel to the Jewish people, leaving aside that fact, I mean, let's, even from a secular perspective, Yehuda Beth Shimon, the so-called West Bank, belongs to Israel. Because let's face the facts here. I mean, ever since the British Mandate period, Israel has been the only legal sovereign of Yehuda Beth Shimron. And the fact of the matter is this. In 1947, when the UN partitioned the area into a Jewish and Arab state, and the Arabs would have gotten Gaza, the so-called West Bank, i.e. Yehuda Beth Shimron, Yehuda Beth Shimron being the so-called West Bank, and even some areas of what later became known as pre-1967 Israel. And the Arabs rejected the plan, the Jews accepted the plan, and the Arabs chose war, and the Jews were forced to defend themselves. One day after Israel was created, on May 15, 1948, one day after Israel was created on the Jewish portion of the land that visited the UN partition plan, five Arab armies invaded Israel in order to do what Azam Pasha, the Arab Secretary General, said would be a war, a momentous massacre, like a war of extermination, like the Mongolian massacres and the Crusades. That's how Azam Pasha described the Arab invasion in 1948. Now Jordan was among the five Arab invading countries, and that's how Jordan won Yehuda Beth Shimon, the so-called West Bank. And Jordan took the West Bank illegally. And Egypt, which was also among the invading Arab countries, took Gaza illegally in the 1948 war. And in 1967, when Israel was forced to defend itself, that's how Israel won Yehuda Beth Shimron in Gaza. Sovereigns of the quote-unquote occupied territories. I mean, Israel left Gaza in 2005, but like with Yehuda Beth Shimron, and this is also true about Gaza, but with Yehuda Beth Shimron, since the previous sovereign of Yehuda Beth Shimron, the so-called West Bank, held on to it illegally, and Israel won that area in a war of self-defense, and there's no legal sovereign from before. Therefore, legally speaking, from the perspective of even secular international law, Yehuda Beth Shimron, the so-called West Bank, belongs to Israel. Because there was never any sovereign Palestinian state, and the Palestinians have not kept with any of the agreements that they supposedly agreed to. I mean, Palestinianism is really built on lies. I mean, Arafat was not even born in Israel or the quote-unquote occupied territories. Arafat was born in Egypt, in Cairo, Egypt, in 1929, and he lied about his birth. He said he was born in Gaza or born in Jerusalem, and he made up stories about how he was supposedly driven out by the Israelis and became an Arab refugee and stuff. I mean, Arafat was such a terrorist crook who made up stories, but really, you know, the essence of Palestinianism is the very essence of being a Palestinian is being a terrorist crook. I mean, I'm not saying that all Palestinians are like that. I'm not saying that all Arabs who we call Palestinians are like that. What I'm saying is that the essence of, like, the identity of Palestinianism is essentially like that. It was built upon lies to try to destroy Israel. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. It was built upon lies to try to destroy Israel. You see, Wally Chubat, the former PLO terrorist, who grew up in the, he grew up in Yad HaVashem on the so-called West Bank, and he was a former PLO terrorist. And Wally Chubat, the former PLO terrorist, observed, why is it that one day I was a Jordanian and the next day I became a Palestinian? You see, it was after the Six-Day War when Israel won more territory in a war of self-defense, when the Arabs in Yehuda, Bet-Shemron, and Gaza suddenly discovered their lost Palestinian identity that the Jews supposedly took from them. The PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, was founded in 1964, not 1967. In Article 24 of the 1964 PLO Charter, says that the Palestinians have no claim to Gaza or the so-called West Bank. But of course, that changed after the Six-Day War in order to serve as an excuse to fight Israel, in order to serve as an excuse for their genocidal war of extermination against Israel and the Jewish people. I mean, this idea of a Palestinian people is another lie from anti-Semitism. It's a lie from hell. It's literally pretty much a lie from hell, a lie from the anti-Semites. Palestinianism is a lie from hell. That's the truth of the matter. The Hebrew of Palestinian, Palestim, the Hebrew, Shorash, root, means invader. It means invader, essentially. Hey, Lamed Shin. That very root, which is the Shorash of the Hebrew for Palestinian, Palestine, Philistine, whatever, means invader. And the Philistines, by the way, I mean the Arabs we call Palestinians are not descendants of the Philistines. They're Arabs, pure and simple. The Philistines were not Arabs. The Philistines were Greeks. They were Greek sea peoples. But leaving that bit aside, the Romans renamed the area Palestine in order to insult the Jewish people by naming it after the Jews' historic enemy, the Philistines. The Romans renamed the land Palestina, the land for Palestine, in order to insult the Jewish people by naming it after the Jews' historic enemies, the Philistines. And so it was a Roman name, not even an Arab name. The name stayed. And there was never a sovereign Arab Muslim state within Eretz Yisrael or existing on Eretz Yisrael. The land was part of different Arab Muslim empires. The land was part of different Muslim empires, some of which were Arab, but only as part of empires, and only as the backwater as part of empires. You see, Palestine and Jerusalem never played a central role in Muslim history. I mean, the capitals were like Damascus and Baghdad, but not Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not even mentioned in the Quran. That's the truth of the matter. It's not even mentioned in the Quran. I mean, the Palestinians have zero right to create a terrorist state within Jewish land, because all of Israel from the river to the sea is Jewish land. That's the truth of the matter. And I'm tired of assimilated Jews always having to feel the need to apologize for being Jewish. I'm tired of that. And then we have like Jill Jacobs, for instance, the leader of the conservative rabbi who is the leader of Trua. And it's, you know, I mean, even though what she represents is not really merely, fully she represents like the, even though what she claims to represent there, what she really represents there is suicide, because Jill Jacobs is among those who wants Israel to commit suicide by handing like the West Bank over to this terrorist Palestinian state. Now, you know, for instance, in an interview on Shalom TV, look it up for yourself. In an interview on Shalom TV, Jill Jacobs, the leader of Trua, which was formerly known as Rabbis for Human Rights, Trua was formerly known as Rabbis for Human Rights in North America, and Rabbis for Human Rights, both in Israel and North America. I mean, they're crazy people who want Israel to do crazy suicidal things. But Jill Jacobs on Shalom TV basically stated that she's for forcing Jews out of Yehuda Veshimron, and she's okay with having a Palestinian state created where Jews are not allowed to live. Because, you know, she was asked about this by the host of Shalom TV, the host asked her about this, trying to remember the details exactly, but, and, I watched that interview myself, so the host asked her about, like, what about Jews living in Yehuda and Shomron, what about the Pal, and stuff like that, and she said, you know, that, and she basically said, you know, how those Jews there won't be loyal, and it'll just be violent conflict, and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, and then when she was, and then Jill Jacob said, well, maybe 50 years from now, you know, Jews can, I mean, they were talking specifically about Hebron, where, and Jill Jacobs blames all the problems on, basically on Israel and Jewish residents of Hebron there. And basically Jill Jacobs said, well, she's okay with having a Palestinian state at the expense of Jews, basically. But, you know, and she said, well, maybe 50 years from now, things can change. And then the host called her out on it, right, and rightly so. And the host said, you know, if Israel said the same thing about its Arab minority, about not letting them live in Israel, and maybe 50 years from now things would change. She said it still had that option about it's our minority. He would be aghast. And then Jill Jacob said, well, but the Arabs were there for like a long time and stuff like that. Well, you know, well, there's, I don't want to be speaking specifically about Hebron, but here are some facts. The Jewish community in Hebron existed there for thousands of years, for like generations and generations and generations, pretty much. I mean, the Jewish community in Hebron existed for generations and generations and generations until 1929, when Amin al-Husseini and his thugs massacred them. And the Jewish community that came back to Hebron came back on land that the Jewish community previously had before they were massacred. I mean, it was their descendants, the descendants of the survivors, excuse me, who came back to land that the Jews previously had before 1929, after the Six-Day War. So the Jews were in Hebron for generations and generations and generations. But we don't hear that. Now, another thing also is some of the Arabs are also quote-unquote recent newcomers, because as a result of the Jews rebuilding the land, because Mark Twain is his beloved before the Jewish settlers came there to rebuild the land. There was a Jewish presence always since biblical times, but before Jews from Europe who were fleeing anti-Semitism came to rebuild the land, Mark Twain visited the land, and Mark Twain described that land as a wasteland. And then after the Jews came to rebuild the land, the Jews, as the saying goes, made the desert bloom, and as a result of the Jews making the desert bloom, some of the Arabs came there. So some of the Arabs are also quote-unquote newcomers. But that's the whole thing about the Palestinian argument. Well, you know, these Jews who are there came from Poland and Russia and 100 years ago, and the Arabs are there for generations and generations, you know. Well, some of the Arabs are newcomers too, and, you know, most Jews in Israel are not even from European countries, but are from Arab and Muslim countries. And they were most, I mean, after the 48 war, what's not said is that the Arab countries expelled Jews, and many Jews were fleeing from anti-Semitism in the Arab countries. And most Jews in Israel actually come from Arab and Muslim countries, not even from European countries. But basically what the Palestinians, the argument made by the Palestinians essentially amounts to basically, you know, looking at each family, profiling each family and saying, you know, you know, if your bloodline can only reach to a certain period, you know, then we're going to kick you out. And if it exceeds that, then you can stay. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. I mean, the Palestinian argument reeks of genocidal racism. It reeks of Nazism, because, I mean, their whole movement might as well be from the Third Reich. They're Amalekites. The Palestinians who fight Israel are Amalekite pigs. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, Palestinianism is Amalek. But also another thing, you know, about Jill Jacobs talking about the Jews not, you know, not being loyal and stuff. Well, hey, guess what? Israel has Arabs in the parliament, even Arabs in the parliament, who want to destroy Israel. In the Knesset, there are some Arab Arab members of the Knesset. The Knesset is Israel's parliament. There are some Arab MKs, Arab members of the Knesset, who publicly call for Israel's destruction, and who publicly call for the restoration of the Islamic Caliphate. I mean, there's that pig, Hanin Zoabi, who serves in the MK. Hanin Zoabi actually said that the kidnapping of the yeshiva students was not terrorism. She said that it was not terrorism, and yet she has a seat in the Knesset. So, you know, Israel has Arabs who support terrorism holding Knesset seats. And if Israel does anything about it, then Israel will be accused of discriminating against the Arabs. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. I mean, Israel's up against the Amalekite pigs. That's the truth of the matter. Israel is truly up against the Amalekite pigs. I mean, not all Arabs in the Knesset, of course, call for Israel's destruction are like that, but plenty of them. And in my view, I think that, you know, Arabs should be allowed to run the Knesset, but not if they deny Israel's existence as a Jewish state. I mean, that's my view, but notwithstanding my view, you know, there are Arabs in the Knesset, like Hanin Zoabi, who want to see Israel destroyed and who say stuff like the kidnapping of the yeshiva students was not terrorism. And yet, you see, there's totally another star in hell against the Jews. And we see assimilated Jews like Jill Jacobs feeling the need to basically apologize to the anti-Semitic world. It's disgusting. You see a lot of that specifically among the in the non-Orthodox movement, in the non-Orthodox rabbinical schools. There are there are more rabbinical students who feel hostile to Israel, think that Israel's too right wing and stuff. Right when Israel's under attack and Israel's under siege, and rather than caring about the safety of their Jewish brothers and sisters in Israel, their biggest worry is whether Israel is becoming too right-wing for them. It's like beyond insane. I mean, there are some things in Israel that I disagree with and that I don't like. But yet, nevertheless, when it comes to Israel defending itself, I think Jews should put their differences aside and support Israel and come in support of their Jewish brothers and sisters against the genocidal Nazis who attack them. I mean, that's my view on this. My view. It's just totally disgusting. Not wanting to be seen as a right-wing nut job now suddenly comes before, not wanting to be seen as a quote-unquote right-wing nut job now suddenly comes before the security and the safety of Jewish men, women, and children in Israel. It's disgusting. You know? Totally disgusting. I mean, I can't describe how disgusted I am with this. I mean, and also, I can't describe how disgusted I am with this. And even Arabs who want peaceful coexistence with Israel, having their lives threatened, and what does the liberal media say about this? Nothing. I mean, there was, Hanin Zoabi is completely like a pro-terrorist pig. Her, I think, cousin or nephew, I think, Mohammed Zoabi, on the other hand, was and is definitely very pro-Israel. And because he expresses his pro-Israel view, he speaks out against terrorism and speaks for peace, basically. Mohammed Zoabi had his life threatened, and he had to go into hiding. And yet, And yet, what did the liberal media say about that? I'll tell you what the liberal media said about that. Nothing. Nada. Because they care. Because they don't care about the Arabs who the world calls Palestinians. I mean, they don't care about Palestinian Arabs. They care about hating Jews, and that's all it is about, hating Jews. And you know, so yeah, that's all it is. I mean, this is completely an Amalekite terrorist agenda against Israel, and the media is complicit in this. I mean, yeah. Sorry, I was just sort of pausing a bit. So, I mean, the show's almost over. I hope you enjoy listening to my rant. And with that, we're out. Okay, we're out.